What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week in person here in the studio are Sam Claiborne.
Yeah, right here. That's what's up.
Colin Stevens.
Hey, gamers.
And Justin Davis joins us remotely from an undisclosed location.
Scoop.
And we know we have limited time with Justin today. He's going to have to be excused early, but I will keep an eye on the clock. We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about Resident Evil 4, the remake, the latest game to get a 10 out of 10 from IGN this year.
Oh my gosh.
OMG. We're also talking about The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. But first, let's briefly discuss the Last of Us finale on HBO. Mm-hmm. We've all seen it. Justin, have you watched it?
I'm halfway through the season, but I don't mind. I played the game and everything, so I'm good. We can discuss.
Okay, and if we do, we'll let you know if we're going to spoil anything, first of all. But just, first of all, overall, as we said before, I really liked the whole series. Thought it was great. My only complaint with the finale is the same complaint I've heard from some other people is that maybe it was a little bit rushed. Felt a little bit rushed. The season was 9 episodes long. Like, why not just make it 10, just so we could spend a little bit more time building Ellie and Joel's relationship so that when the thing happens, it's even more like a gut punch, if you will. I don't know. Do anyone feel the same way?
Well, I thought that it was, I thought the last episode was a little corny. It was the only other episode that went full video game besides the sniping scene.
Because of the ladder stuff? Or?
Well, that was hilarious. Yeah, which I liked. I kind of liked that nod, but it was just the Doom part, which I was just like, okay, well, we're just doing a full third-person shooter for a little while in this episode.
Yeah. I don't know how else you do it, though.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I guess we should say spoilers also at this point.
The rest of the show found a way to not do that, though. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of surprised. And they had to even establish that Joel was a sharp-shooting person in the recap showing the sniping scene again. I was like, why are they showing that? It's like, oh, yeah, that's right, because he's just going to mow down a bunch of people. Yeah. Which I just thought was like unpleasant to watch, and I didn't like it. Mm.
Do you feel the same way about the game, though?
I mean, the whole show is unpleasant to watch, and that's kind of the intention, I know. But I also think Joel's character kind of like gets a little strange at the end there, and I don't know. I liked a lot of episodes of that show, but that one wasn't my favorite one.
Well, what happens at the end is like that's the whole meat of like the game and the story to me.
It is.
Probably to everyone else. So it's like I knew that was coming. I was a little bit more affected by it in the game, but maybe that's just because I played that first, experienced that first, and this is like a second retelling of it.
I would completely relate to that.
I think the most interesting thing about the episode is the beginning section with Ashley Johnson being Ellie's mom, which is a weird, trippy thing.
That was like a fan guess of what would happen.
Another very unpleasant thing to watch, but well done.
For sure, but having it like have an explanation for why Ellie is immune. Usually I'm kind of against that, like over-explaining stuff in sci-fi, but I think it was like a simple enough explanation and it made enough sense that like, oh, her mom got bit right before like the umbilical cord got cut. Something happened in that process and now she's immune. It's like, okay, you know, I can live with that explanation. I didn't need it, but I like it. Yeah. It's a good enough
explanation. And it's ambiguous enough that like that, it could have just been showing like a horrible, you know, Ellie coming into the world existence and maybe that wasn't how she got hurt.
Well, and they also explained a little bit more in the hospital. Marlene mentioned like how a vaccine would work in this scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And in my mind, I've always been like, how would that even work? Because vaccines don't work on fungus. Like there's no vaccines for fungus. But now they're talking about like messengers and how it sort of tricked them into thinking they were already infected so it wouldn't start infecting them. And it's like, okay, I can also live with that explanation.
Sure.
And Resident Evil, you have to physically remove the parasite from your neck orifice. That's how it works.
What are the odds that Ellie's mother is the only pregnant woman that had been bitten in all those years?
No, that's why I think it's ambiguous. But she was, why that if that was actually.
Well, no, but like she was, it was right at the moment of birth, though, right?
Yeah,
like that's the whole thing.
That's the key.
It was only like a second.
Yeah.
And this
I was watching with my wife. I mean, like it all happens. She kills the zombie, and then she looks down. The baby's just there.
I know.
My wife was like, "That is bullshit."
That is the most intense adrenaline rush in the history of man. Yeah. One thing they like to use, talk about a rushed episode,
right?
Yeah, right. But yeah, no, it was an interesting section, and I liked that it was there. But besides that, it was the episode that probably like stuck the closest to the games. Mm-hmm. For better and maybe a little bit for worse, just because I think the game probably executed it a little bit better. But I still think I think it landed well enough, and it did everything it needed to set up whatever is going to come next for the second season. Yep.
I think the coolest thing, besides like, hey, this is a video game thing that's easy to watch, which have existed before, Wreck-It Ralph. There's a and Detective Pikachu, I'd argue also, but the cool thing about it, I think, was also is like it gave me a reason to watch a zombie-like show that was fun, and I watched it, and I was like, I'm never gonna do this again after 10 seasons or whatever of The Walking Dead. Like, I never need to watch a zombie thing ever again. And I was like, hey, yeah, this was a good excuse to do it, and I liked it.
But as a lot of people point out, the zombies are, you know, the infected are very downplayed.
What if we're The Walking Dead?
What if we're the infected?
I think the show, well, I just like, you know, I mentioned I'm not all the way through the season yet because just it's so good and it's so well done. It's like the best television, right? It's going to deserve all the accolades that it gets. But like every night I sit down with my wife and I'm like, hey, do you feel like 100%. Being emotionally devastated yeah. tonight?
I know.
Nope. I don't feel okay. I don't feel like that either. So it's like,
Ted Lasso it is.
Seems like, I was like, well, we also have to catch up on Party Down before the new season. And that's been happening.
Yeah. So. And I just like, no, I don't ever feel like being that emotionally devastated. So it's like, you know, like it's made by the same guy that made Chernobyl, right? Which was like so good, but it also has the historical context and just the horrifying nature that it's kind of based on a true story. And it's a 6-episode limited run. Whereas with Last of Us, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this.
But the giraffes,
we'll get through it.
The giraffes, the palate cleanser of The Last of Us.
Which I thought, I was, when I just watched it, I was like, well, those are CGI giraffes. But nope, they're real giraffes.
They're real.
That's how good. That's where they spent their budget.
That head and neck. That was the real furry deal.
Yeah.
They're like, we can have clickers in this episode or
a giraffe.
Do you think it's hard for the actors? So the actors have to act, you know, Pedro Pascal can't be himself. He has to be Joel reacting to the giraffe. But I would be so delighted and just like, yee, just like, so happy to be meeting and petting a giraffe that I don't feel like I'd be able to act in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, maybe they let him get to know the giraffes first.
Giraffes are so weird looking. You could drop them into any Star Wars scene.
Totally.
And they would look right at home.
They're extremely strange.
Yeah. Look at these dumb animals in Star Wars. Why do they do this? It's so prequel.
Yep.
The highest blood pressure of any mammal. It makes sense when you think about it. Yeah. Well, I was just telling you guys, I worked at Disney World, did their college program like 5 years ago. And when I worked at Animal Kingdom, I had to learn a bunch of animal facts. Mm. Wow. And that's the one that stuck with me the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta watch the salt in those eucalyptus leaves.
They have freaky tongues, too, as I just discovered.
Oh, yeah. They're very rough.
Oh, yeah.
But I like to feed one that looks really adorable.
Yeah. You can do that at most zoos.
Yeah, I think the San Francisco Zoo allows you to feed them.
Yeah, you can. The one thing I want to say, at the end, Joel seems a little, like, cuckoo. And it's been so long since I've played the game. Do they portray him that way at the end of the first game? He just seems a little crazy. I know he's like, he realizes what he's done, and he has to deal with that, and he also has to lie to Ellie. And maybe he's trying to make himself believe the lie.
Yeah.
I think they did it in the game, but I think they played it up a little bit more this time. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they handle the second game. I think it's doing something unusual for me. It's as I like play back the story in my mind, I think it's making me like the second game more than I did when I first played it.
I can relate to that too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wonders never cease. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about Resident Evil 4, the remake. The review is up by the time this episode will be out. Our reviewer Tristan reviewed it for us. Is that right, Sam?
That's right,
Tristan in Australia, and gave it a 10 out of 10. The latest 10 out of 10 from IGN. Sam
and
gave
the second remake of a GameCube game that got a 10 out of 10 this
That's
year.
Right. That's amazing. You gave Metroid Prime Remastered a 10.
Yeah.
Then we gave Dead Cells Return to Castlevania a 10. Uh-huh. And then Tom Jorgensen, who's off stage producing this episode right now, gave John Wick 4 a 10 out of 10. Something we can't talk about because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm so excited for John Wick 4.
Great news. Mm-hmm.
It is an expensive commitment for my wife and I to go to the movies these days, but I will do it for John Wick 4. Mm. And now Resident Evil 4 has gotten a 10 out of 10. We're all playing it. Yes. Justin, probably not playing it, but Justin, you're not a spooky game guy, right?
No, but I did play, like, I think the last horror games I can remember playing all the way through was Resident Evil 4. And it was great. And it's like, and I'm excited to learn that this remake, like, it just felt like Resident Evil 4 felt so good and didn't feel that, like, old and dated, that this remake has sort of proven its reason to exist and, you know, delivered on its promise. So I'm happy to see that.
It's great. I'm in Chapter 7, which is right at the castle beginning, which I think is right around where Sam is.
I love you can see the castle in that game, in the original, too. It's
at the lake?
Like, you always kind of see it. You're like, oh, that'd
it's
be cool
so good.
If we go there.
Yeah.
It does a similar effect that they did in 8, where they like sort of visually contextualize where you're all
entire. 8 was good about that, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an Ocarina of Time. You're like, oh, there's the volcano. Mm-hmm. There's the Deku Tree. You
know, yeah. I... We're allowed to swear now, right? On the show?
You know. I didn't mean to open the floodgates. I just got really upset about
can
those
I say 3% one swear?
Buffs.
You can say a swear.
This game is so fucking good.
It is.
There's something about the original Resident Evil 4, which is one of my, it's in my top 10 favorite games of all time, yeah. where it's so meticulously designed that you can constantly feel like the thread of the creators just sort of pulling at you and designing everything around you, and it just feels so natural at the same time, where like you'll be very close to being out of ammo, and then you'll finally like get some extra ammo in some sort of way, and you feel so gratified because you're the reason why you went out of your way and you got that ammo. And then when you have too much, you'll go through a section and just be like, oh, crap, like I'm out. Everything's done. I can't do this anymore.
It's all actual risk and reward. It's
constantly.
When you get rewarded, you're like, whoa, I can't believe I just wasted all that ammo, but I'm going to be okay because this thing just
happened. And the ebb and flow is like so satisfying throughout the entire game. The weapon upgrading is just as satisfying as it ever was. The attaché case is even more satisfying than it
ever
was.
Love that thing.
It's so good.
Easy sort? Are you kidding
me? Oh my God.
Worth
that
the price
is great.
Alone.
It really is. I feel like I'm cheating when I do it, but then I'm like,
yeah, you hit that button, good. You're like,
and it even sorts out like putting all the weapons next to each other, because that's the way I would have done it anyway.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly.
It's so good. I have not finished it yet. I am about at the castle as well. I'm like halfway through the castle. But if it is as good as it has been through the end, this will replace the original as one of my top 10 favorite games. And I might even move it up my list a little bit. Mm-hmm. I adore this game.
Well, Resident Evil 4 Remake. So I'm approaching it. I played the original, but never revisited it since then. Didn't play any of the re-releases, the Wii Remake or the Wii port. So I only remember the broad strokes, but man, I'm loving it. The combat feels so good. Mm-hmm. And I think people will find, as I did, it's pretty tough. The game's pretty tough, especially right out the gate. I think it's what's available in the demo of that village area. You just get swarmed with people.
Mm-hmm. So soon after you start the game, you're in a fight or flight scenario, which the game kind of tells you to flee, but you get rewarded.
That's the thing.
If you take on a bunch of enemies, which is really funny, and there's like, you know, it's such a good scenario, and that happens later in the original game, and it really it ramps up the difficulty.
There's something that happens in that section that isn't really a spoiler because everyone can play it now.
That's right, it's the demo, right?
In the demo, where it's sort of what indicated to me that like, oh, they really put like an insane amount of thought into this remake. If you climb up the ladder into the tower, what I always used to do is I would cheese it and I would sit up there and I would just shoot people as they tried to come up the ladder.
Yeah, because they fall down as soon as you hit them.
Exactly. You try to do that now, the floor will collapse on you. It knows that you're gonna like try to cheese the system, and it's like
shocking.
No.
Yeah. Did you try that? It's really funny.
It genuinely scared the hell out of me, and then I was like, gotta run.
These remakes have gotten so good at like preying on your expectations. Mm-hmm. Like I remember the Resident Evil remake with the dogs busting through the windows, and then it doesn't happen, but then it does happen later, and like. You know, relying on people's nostalgia and memories, but also like playing tricks on you. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I think that Capcom are really the masters of like this is an action game, right? So they want you to feel powerful and have like a lot of tools and weapons at your disposal, but they still don't ever want you to feel safe. And sort of like that balance of like, no, this is a dangerous place and you will get mauled and killed, but you still have like an arsenal at your disposal. Like that's really tough to get right. And so, you know, even though they're not my kind of games, like I definitely commend them for really, you know, Capcom, they're just the masters of it.
Yeah. Tristan, our reviewer, I think he described it perfectly, that Resident Evil 4 is like a roller coaster ride where in between segments of the ride, you're in these like close quarters standoffs where you have swarms of enemies coming at you. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing on the standard difficulty. I will often die in those swarming sections, but the combat's so fun, I don't really mind when I have to just start over again. It's just like, okay, well, I'll just play this fun combat scenario again.
Yeah, the swarming sections, you know, the more I'm playing this version of it, the more I realize that, like, Resident Evil 5 actually did have a lot of Resident Evil 4's DNA in it.
It does, yeah.
It just sort of maybe went a little bit too over the top, and I think actually the multiplayer probably broke it a little bit. You can't really be scared when you have someone with you. Yeah. You can't really do the attaché system when you're like trading stuff all the time. And all the like the encounters are sort of structured around two people playing at once, especially like bosses and stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing alone, which I feel like most people probably played that game alone, it makes it worse. But I genuinely think, like we've been talking about this a lot, but like the next game that they remake, we don't know what it'll be. I think if they took on 5, I think they could really turn that from a good game into something like incredible, but part of me is like, they might have to take out multiplayer, which would be super ironic because that's the best part of that game. But at this point, I think that this team who is making this game is so good that they could remake any of the options in front of them and they would make something really good.
This is, I mean, they're having the best run of Resident Evils that the series ever. Has ever had, yeah. Starting with the remake. Yeah. Well, I guess, no, starting with 7, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been so close from the announcement to release, too, which is a really exciting
thing. Yeah, it's usually less than a year. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to cover some like basic things. It looks amazing. The enemies look really scary and cool, and they react to your weapons in really amazing ways, and they're really gross. better than I think any game that's ever done it, with the exception of the Dead Space remake, which does it in a different way with a lot of limb deformation stuff. But this game does great stuff with that. You had mentioned that like some of the cutscenes don't look as good as maybe 2 or 3.
I was saying the environments look great, but maybe the facial animation isn't as good as...
Yeah, it's hard. I think the beginning, that's kind of melted away for me now because I don't care as much anymore. So there's that, but yeah, there's parts of the game that look great. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is that like if you have played a lot of Resident Evil 4, They have completely added so much content and reshuffled things.
I thought you could speak to that a little bit better than I could.
It's fascinating. And I've played a lot, like you have. Like, I've played basically on every system, but I beat it on every system, including Switch recently. And the Wii was my favorite version until now. I really like that version. But they basically will take like an environment that you know, and then the corridors between that have a lot of things that happen. Whether some of it's side quests that people know about, right? There's other things, but there's other things where it's just like this is a dwelling environment for villagers that they just didn't show before. And it has multifaceted parts, maybe like a new way to retraverse it when you go back through, and it becomes that opening area before the castle, because I haven't been to the castle. I'm right at the edge of it. It's a Metroid game. It's like you do so much stuff in that where you can go back and like do things and get certain things that open paths that you wouldn't before, including like the Ashley stuff, which is like basically getting an upgrade. Like there's just all kinds of stuff where you're retraversing, and every time it's interesting, and they add things to make your retraversal interesting.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for people to play it. Yeah, not just the side quests, but sometimes you just go back through an area and you're like, whoa, this set of enemies is here. And it's not what you expect, and it's really, really fun.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of new people considered Resident Evil 2 sort of the gold standard for how you do a remake of that type. Not a one-to-one.
Yeah.
Not something completely
different. And you're taking a game that's like so primitive compared to what we have now in that.
Yeah.
That jump is incredible. And they've tried as much as they can do that with this.
Yeah.
But you could break the game with doing that. You can't overdo Resident Evil 4, or like it won't have that DNA that everybody loves. It's already a 10 out of 10 game, or whatever we gave it, a
9.3 or something.
But I now consider this, again, haven't finished, so I can't 100% say this without, if something goes weird and I end up disliking the game, I doubt that would happen. I think this is the new gold standard for remakes moving forward.
And you also recently finished Dead Space 2.
Yes, and that one is a much more one-to-one. Yeah, that one's a much more like faithful recreation of the original Dead Space, and this one takes more liberties, but it also like it doesn't throw away nearly as much as like Resident Evil 3 did, which I liked 3 remake, but it did remove a lot of content to its detriment. This one, anything that's removed doesn't feel like, it feels like they very much weighed these decisions and were consciously taking things out when they did take things out.
Yeah, your whole comment about how designed it feels is like exactly right. It's like the smartest game developers in the world are working on this game and clearly having a blast working on it. And it's just like, you just feel it. You feel like there's a magic coming from these remakes right now. It's just so cool, like, to be living through this time. Yeah. It's great.
And I've got so many games I have to play right now.
I know.
That
I know,
I am immediately going to play this on New Game Plus. Yeah, I do not care. Sorry to the 5 games that I'm sitting on. I'm going to replay this immediately.
I still want to get back to Octopath 2. I still want to finish Return to Castlevania, but I'm 100% in on RE4 right now. Justin.
If people are watching the video version, like I'm so stressed out watching this footage. It's like, Leon,
oh man,
get out of there.
We don't see the footage. We just get the 4 up.
Oh,
there we are.
We've just been watching B-roll of him just like scrabbling around and getting knifed by villagers. And it's like, ooh.
I think it's worth mentioning, if there's people who are scared of horror games, this, I would say, is less like capital H horror, like jump scare type stuff, no. and more overwhelming than anything. And I think that has to do with like the mobs, and it's scary in that way for sure. But there's less jump scares in this than I would say is in like four or in two. Personally, so.
There's a lot of drop kicks. There's a whole lot of drop kicking.
It's also very it's very video gamey.
Oh, 100%. It's so video.
And I remember the first time I played through Resident Evil 4, I didn't use that ammo saving maneuvers, which is like you could use your knife to do a bunch of things, which they augment a lot in this game, mm-hmm. but you can do a lot of like, you know, shooting out legs and kicking and stuff like that. And then my subsequent playthroughs, I got really good at that because I was playing on professional difficulty or whatever, and like I've always liked 100% these games. And so when I was playing through this one, it's just like, it is really funny, like if someone watches me play, it's so stupid because I obsess, like I don't kill anything without like getting one kick in. So it's like there'll be six enemies and I'm like,
so it's like a martial arts game,
knee kick. Yeah. Knee kick, and then run away as far as I can, and then just so I can do that more. It's so stupid.
It's ridiculous. I've been just capturing footage for like fun social stuff for our social platforms, mm-hmm. and so anytime that you get into a combat like encounter where things start going crazy, I'll capture footage, and it happens all the time. And like, I'm not like amazing at video games or anything, but it's so well designed that like even like the blocks and stuff with the knife happen so naturally that I don't even have to think about it. And that's so rare in games. And like, there'll just be like a sequence where there's an old lady coming at you, you deflect her pitchfork with a knife, mm-hmm. you groundhouse kick her in the face, yep. you shove your knife in her throat while she's on the ground, her head pops off and a giant like parasite comes out, yeah. you shoot that with the shotgun, and then you roundhouse kick her again, and it's just like, this game is so awesome.
Yeah. It does. The original did a very good job of like making you feel, it's not like the best in video games at this, but making you feel powerful of just like shooting an axe out of the air.
Oh, I love
and you
that.
Just
love
do it by reflex.
Yeah.
It just feels so cool.
Mm-hmm. Dude, when the enemies hold up a dynamite and they're about to throw it, if you hit it and they blow up, it's so crazy graphic in this one. Yeah. Like, it just vaporizes them.
And then they're chunks.
And the sound is like insane.
It reminds me a lot of Last of Us Part 2 on the like gore level. But also like mechanically, I still think Last of Us Part 2 is probably a bit more fluid than this game. But like, if there's one thing that like no one can really fault Last of Us Part 2 on, it's gameplay chops. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is very close to that, like from moment to moment gameplay. And it's like, damn.
Yeah. It's great. Leon is very stoic 80s action hero type protagonist.
One-liners.
He still says his one-liners, though.
But I just, don't you think he should have acknowledged the events of Resident Evil 2 at some point? He's just like, this is kind of like what happened. He doesn't say anything like that. He just takes everything that's happening right now in this village.
Yeah, he'll be like, that was weird.
Yeah, well, I've never experienced anything like this before.
But then he starts doing the, like, I don't know. He'll be like, should have chosen another guy or something. Yeah. Like, just a dumb one-liner.
You'll get a headshot with a shotgun. Who's next?
Like, yeah.
That's like the zombie movie. Like, every zombie movie has to make a choice where do the people in this movie know that zombies are a thing or not? Like, do zombie movies exist in the world in which this zombie movie is set? Or are they like, look, it's zombies? Or are they like, what the hell is going on? The dead are coming back to life and I don't have any word for this.
Justin's getting booped in real time for us.
Yeah, but I think he's watching.
It might be B-roll on that. Yeah. One thing that I love about this game is I think they've sort of thread the line perfectly between, like, the original is so cheesy, and it's cheesy in a really great way, and they didn't remove that, but they made it maybe a little bit more serious in some ways, but they still kept the cheese, like, fully dialed up to 11. So it's, like, a weird balance where it's just, like, I'm just living during these cutscenes because they're so stupid and ridiculous and fun, but there is a seriousness that's in line with, like, the last remakes and stuff. Yeah. And then it's just like,
I mean, it's a very bad dude's plot, though, so it can't really go over.
Well, except, in Bad Dudes, it's actually the president.
Yeah. And what a scenario. Gotta save the president's daughter from a zombie parasite infection. Yep. Love it.
She was taken. It's like, he's like Liam Neeson, basically.
She's also, I will say, less annoying in this game. In a lot of different ways.
She's fine.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4 Remake, it is Game Scoop recommended.
We already have like so many Game of the Year contenders.
Oh, I know. God. That's what I said. 2023, man.
It's going to be insane.
It's a good year.
Yeah. What a great year.
Love it.
Justin, do we need to say goodbye to you? It's 11:56.
What's the next segment? What are we talking about next?
Well, I could give you a choice. We could talk about whether or not Tears of the Kingdom is a AAA game.
Oh, or we could talk about... Okay, yes. I'll answer that and say, yes, of course it is.
Okay, well...
And then that might be all I have to contribute to that, because, yeah, I have to... Okay. Double booked.
All right, well then, in that case, let's check in with the listeners.
Okay, I'll give you a hey, listeners, then I'll say goodbye.
Okay.
Hey, listeners.
Okay, we're saying goodbye to Justin. Viewers, listeners, remember you can reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Bryson from Chicago did. Bryson says, with the release of Tears of the Kingdom on the horizon, it got me thinking, is it a AAA game? My knee-jerk reaction is yes, but the more I think on it, I'm not so sure. When I think of AAA games, I think hyper-realistic graphics, expensive motion capture, voice acting, and action-packed set pieces, games like Red Dead Redemption 2, God of War, and Cyberpunk. Breath of the Wild, and I assume Tears of the Kingdom, doesn't really have any of that. That's not a knock on the games at all. Breath of the Wild is one of my favorite games of all time. It's as good as any AAA game. I would just argue that it's not AAA as I understand it, and more broadly, I don't think Nintendo makes any AAA games anymore. They make games that are as good as AAA and sell like AAA, but not really AAA. What do you all think? Is it AAA and I'm just thinking too hard?
That's Justin said absolutely. Rude question. Yeah, what did Justin say?
He said yes. Absolutely is.
And then yeah, he left. About,
and then he left, yeah.
Yep, okay.
So, do we consider this question answered and move on?
No. I like to talk about this topic because, like, think about the first time. Where was the first time you heard the term AAA?
I was thinking about this. I think it emerged in the late 90s when games started to be truly mainstream, weren't just for kids. And you had games like Final Fantasy VII, which had really expensive CGI in it, and they had a huge marketing campaign.
Yeah.
There was orchestral music in it.
I think the marketing campaign is a key part of
it. I think so. AAA games, it's an unofficial term that we use to describe games that have the largest development budgets, the largest development teams, the biggest marketing budgets, the splashiest marketing campaigns, right? And then on the player side, it's the games that you're going to spend a premium to play them, and when you get them, it's like the skill tree is maxed out. It's like the biggest the games you're going to spend the longest amount of time with, the best written stories, the most polished experiences, the biggest set pieces, that sort of thing. It's like everything is just all
I want to point out too, like they're generally expected to score and sell well.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean they don't become a lesser game. They're still a AAA game if they score poorly and sell poorly. But like the part of the thing that we consider, and I will say my first experience with really talking about games this way was always ahead of E3s, especially in, you know, the 2000s era. We'd say, like, we like list out all the games that are going to be at E3 and be like, well, this is a AAA game. This is an A game. This is a B. It's like we actually would do tiers. You remember that?
IGN would lay out everything on a spreadsheet.
This is internal.
We would classify games by priority of what we needed to cover.
And that was based on our audience's preference and our audience's interest. And so I think that's become balled up in it. So there's no question in my mind in terms of, you know, if this many people are interested in this game, it's a AAA game. And where that gets confusing is, you know, there's Minecraft Legends coming out. Would we call that a AAA game? Well, I don't know if it's for our audience, but for some audience it is. But usually it's unambiguous. It's the Marvel movies of games. It's the most mainstream. It's the ones that are going to sell well. The bookends are things like Elden Ring all the way to Call of Duty, where it's like the standalone game that has a pedigree that everybody knows about, or a series that's been around forever that everybody plays.
Yeah. It's interesting. I read the question and my knee-jerk response was like, yeah, of course Breath of the Wild is a AAA game. But then I thought about it a little bit more and I was like, okay, I can see where the thought might come from. It obviously doesn't have the production values as far as like motion capture and performance capture and some of that sort of stuff that is in
that we know of.
Sure, for sure. That is in something like A Last of Us Part Two or a very big budget Microsoft game like Starfield will have like a lot of sort of stuff that just can't really be done on the Switch, you know. And so then my mind went to, okay, well, how big are budgets on something like these big Nintendo games? Because I feel like there is some cost saved by there being like lower fidelity and stuff like that, but it's also not making it so they can make the games faster necessarily. They've spent 6 years making this game. And so I decided to look it up. There was a report where Shigeru Miyamoto said that the first Breath of the Wild would have to sell like 2 million copies to break even. And so you start doing some really stupid, not official math, and you're like, okay, let's pretend of these $60 games, Nintendo gets like $50 of it. that would mean that the budget was probably around like $100 million for Breath of the Wild. That's a AAA budget. That is a big budget for a video game. I have to assume.
Or for a film.
Or for a film. And I have to assume that Tears of the Kingdoms is even bigger than that. Probably a lot bigger than that at this point.
It's the biggest game, file size-wise, that Nintendo's ever made.
Sure.
It could very likely be the most expensive game Nintendo's ever made.
Mm-hmm. And there was 100 core staff members who worked on the first Breath of the Wild and like 300 people in the credits. That's a huge group. That is a AAA-sized development team. You know, and indies complicate things when you try to define AAA because like AAA isn't about quality necessarily.
Because see Cyberpunk.
Yeah, exactly. And then like really, really great indie games like Hollow Knight. That's an amazing game. Definitely not a AAA game by really any definition besides it was really well received. But it's an interesting thought. And categorizations can get kind of silly. There was the term quadruple A that was thrown around for the...
Ubisoft has used it for...
they've used it.
Skull and Bones.
Hopefully. Which is funny.
Yep.
Hilarious. Even.
And I think it was actually Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark. That's the one I was trying to think of. And,
With the initiative, right?
Okay. Yeah. And I have to assume, okay, what does that mean? Like, what does that extra A add up to in their minds? Is it more budget? Like, what is that extra A? It's ultimately not a useful terminology, but it is shorthand, you know. We can easily call something a
AAA game. I would want to resist getting hung up on the cinematic part of AAA, so that's like saying like we just talked about like big casts or a lot of motion capture, like those are movie things. Like it doesn't mean the game has that. I'd say a good example of a AAA type of game that wouldn't have that would be Street Fighter, like or a fighting game like Mortal Kombat or something. Like those are clearly AAA games, but like they're not. They have no components of like movie making. Well, I guess they did when they like used to shoot Mortal Kombat actors and take pictures of them, put them together.
But Mortal Kombat has all these good like movie. Like you could play through the story as a movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I'm sure they have motion capture in like those cinematics. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's
you're right.
Nothing like Last of Us.
But if that is your metric for measuring a AAA game, then like there's basically no Nintendo games that are that anymore. But like
we know they are. I mean, it's Mario.
Yeah. Right?
Mario will never, you know, a big 3D Mario game is as AAA as you could be, and it has none of that stuff.
And Mario Odyssey is also better than the vast majority of other AAA games.
This is true. Yeah, I think Tears of the Kingdom meets the definition of AAA game in my mind.
They call it triple M games for Mario.
Triple M?
Triple Z's for Zelda.
This is Lance Anderson. It says, hey, Scoop Gang, I was just hanging out and listening to you guys. And Sam mentioned something about mom-and-pop stores leaking the crap out of stuff. I was wondering if you guys have an opinion on these...
Just happened this week.
...little shops that break street dates. Is this in any way hurting the people who make the games? Is there anything inherently wrong with it? My local store hooks me up, and I've gotten AAA games as early as a Tuesday when the release date is Friday. I'm curious to hear your opinions.
I love it. I think it's really cool.
You like the leaks?
It does hurt developers that are specifically hung up on spoilers because people can post the entire games ahead of the things. But I don't think people should, including developers, get hung up on spoilers. So I still don't have a problem with it.
I think the issue is, like, I think if you can get a game on a Tuesday and it's supposed to come out on a Friday, that has got to be the most fun feeling in the world.
It feels so
like
good.
That's
and you
awesome.
Feel added pressure to beat the game before anybody else plays it.
But if you get that copy of the game and you leak the entire game on the internet, you're kind of a poop head. You shouldn't be doing that. That's just rude. And you might even get the mom and pop store in trouble, which you don't want to do that either because it's hard to be a mom and pop video game store. So, I mean, should they do it? No, but it happens. And if it happens to you, congratulations.
Yeah, I don't really see it down, or it wouldn't bother me if the publisher who's just trying to control the exact time and moment when everyone can play the game. That I'm not worried about them. But it's very easy to encounter a spoiler online accidentally. Mm-hmm. So if there is a game you're looking forward to coming out, someone has like leaked info. Even if you're not seeking it out, you could see it accidentally
that
on
happens.
Your social feed. So that's the only risk, I think, in my mind.
But that happens one day after the game comes out, too.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as the game comes out, people stream it for 24 hours and then they're ready to ruin everything for you. So it's just kind of unavoidable.
True.
And I don't think there's a lot of mom and pop shops anyway. So
this
isn't becoming some greater problem than it was 20 years ago or something.
I did get Deus Ex Human Revolution, I think it was. But the second or the third of the... remake things? Or were there only two of them?
I only remember the Deus Ex 3. Did they do another one after that? I guess they did.
Whichever one came out in like 2011 or 12, there was a mom and pop store right outside of my dorm room in freshman year. And they gave it to me like on a Monday when they were supposed to give it to me on a Friday or whatever.
So
and
cool.
I was psyched. And that was a very good game. So that was fun. That was the only time it's ever happened to me.
I mean, press outlets used to seek out.
I was just going to say, IGN doesn't do this anymore. Doesn't need to. But yeah, way back in the day when I first started, yeah, routinely, we'd like check in with mom and pop stores to see if the game was available yet so we could get a head start
on
reviewing it.
There's a famous one in New York City that New York outlets that do not include IGN used to use all the time. I believe they're still around.
All right, and that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Brian in New Hampshire. You're down a guesser.
Mm-hmm. So we get 10 more questions.
10 more questions, 30 questions. Brian says, he has some info, maybe this will help you out. He says, I have a second job doing laundry for a hotel at night, so I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts, but GameScoop Night is by far my favorite.
Nice.
I'd like to submit Redacted for Video Game 20 Questions. I recently played it, and thanks to Redacted, I finally completed it, and it felt as good as I imagined it would, Redacted. Anyways, thanks for giving me a distraction from the tedium of folding towels and sheets, and I will continue to look forward to hearing the latest scoops about everything the video game world has to offer. And with that...
Do you think he used a strategy guide to help you get through it?
I
think he used an IGN guide.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think it was Metroid Prime.
Mm. Interesting.
And we just redid that.
Is the game Metroid Prime? No. Okay,
question?
What do you want to start with? Last time we went so overboard on the genre thing.
Yeah, we won't do that. And there's always a person or persons that's complaining about us asking questions that are not about the game. And I'm actually conscious of that because I do like asking questions about whether, you know, you can play as a human or not.
Mm. Can you play as a human in this game?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you know what? This one would have helped us last time if we did it early on. Is this a licensed game?
No.
Okay.
That would have helped a lot.
Yeah.
Does this game take place in the space region?
Yes.
Oh, so like sci-fi. It's got to be sci-fi then. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Is this a remake?
No.
Does it have a remake?
No. That's five.
Okay.
Phew.
So, space game. You play as a human.
Mm-hmm. So it's not Dead Space.
Or Metroid Prime Remastered.
Yeah.
Do you shoot things in this game?
Yes.
Hmm. Are there things that are not humans that you shoot? Are there aliens in this game?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, Metroid is still viable on a lot of fronts.
No. It's got remade and it's a remake.
Well, no, but not specifically that one necessarily.
Oh.
But there's a lot of Metroid games that
it could be El Fusion.
Hmm. Maybe we should ask if you only play as one character or like something along the lines of like you play as like a single defined character as opposed to like you can create
Can you
your
play
own.
As a lady?
Yes.
Can you only play as a single solitary lady? It is one specific lady that you play as.
Yes.
Okay. This is a Metroid game, maybe.
We could have got this so much earlier.
Okay. Is this game 2D or 3D?
He can't answer that.
Oh, wait, sorry. I apologize. Sometimes my brain farts out. Is this game a 2D game?
Yes, that's 10.
Was it recently re-released on the Game Boy Advance online channel?
Yes.
So it's Fusion.
Is this Metroid Fusion?
Yes.
I love Metroid
12
Fusion.
12 questions.
Good old SAX.
Nice.
Nicely job.
Nice.
Right there, yep. Yeah, so he was playing, he would like to submit Metroid Fusion. Since I recently played it, and thanks to modern upgrades such as rewind features, I finally completed it. Felt as good as I imagined
That's
it would.
That's supposed to be really helpful, the save states in that game, which I think is good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are also enjoying the save states in Mario Brothers 3, which I think is funny because I never cared about those, but it's supposed to be helpful.
Yeah, there was. I saw some, I think it was Chris Kohler saying that Mario Brothers 3 absolutely should have had save states when it was originally.
Yeah, Ray Barnhole was talking about it.
I don't find 3 that hard. It's definitely difficult.
They're saying that, like, I guess the argument is that, like, there's a lot to explore that people would skip past because you don't go to those areas because you're not using save, you're not going through the game. But, you know, the warp whistles kind of get you around that. Mm. And I mean, I guess my take on that has always been like, the goal of me playing that game was to see everything and like to try to find all the cool stuff and like explore all the weird areas. So it never bothered me that it's like, well, this time I'm going to go to this world and explore it because that's what I wanted to do. So
the only games I've ever used save states on, and I don't think there's anything wrong with using save states. Use whatever you want to use to play a game and enjoy a game. But the only ones I've ever used it on are games that I don't think I could beat on my own reasonably without like dedicating my life to it.
And
that is Zelda 2.
Old games.
I am not ever going to play that game.
It was so great.
Yeah.
It's so much about it right here on GameScoop.
Using the rewind features?
Rewind and save states.
Yeah. I actually kind of like it with save states.
I loved it. Yeah, I used a guide too. Everything about it was really great.
Yeah.
I thought that game absolutely helped being able to save to the second. Because there's some BS in the late
game. That final dungeon is like insane. And
I don't know how anybody ever beat that final boss.
The real Mario 2, the lost levels, I also used save states on. Because otherwise,
that's a good one too. Yeah. I tried it with Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and it was like so funny because it's like you get like one little punch in, you like save it, you're like, got it. You know, or you block.
And then you have to be ready when you load it. You have to be like ready to.
Yeah, it's probably harder than doing it in a different type of difficulty. But it was really fun, and I don't think I've ever beat Mike Tyson using that. But I got really far in the game.
You know, it's funny with Metroid Fusion. That game came out the same day that the original Metroid Prime did. So our initial guess came out the same day.
I know.
And I really love Fusion. I think there are issues with it. You know, it's a little bit too narrative heavy and things along those lines. But like stylistically, it's really fun. It's really colorful. Mm-hmm. Using the parasites to sort of regain health and ammo and all that stuff is also like a really fun system. And I was so excited when Dread got announced because there was clearly so much more to explore, and now I'm still excited for whenever they do a Metroid 6 as a 2D game. I really hope that Mercury Steam is making a Metroid 6. One tip to anyone out there who's playing Metroid Fusion: if you're stuck in a room, a specific room, and there's a jump up here and you can't make it and you're just like, what is happening? You're trying to shoot everything and it's just not working. You're supposed to get into the morph ball and lay a bomb like two spaces back from that wall. There's nothing indicating that you're supposed to do that. And a lot of people will claim, oh, that's just Metroid.
Bomb everything.
That's a bad design in some instances. And this is one of the instances that it's a bad design. So if you're stuck, just bomb the floor for a little bit and a weird thing will come up and boost you up.
I always get criticized for talking about how you can't backtrack in this game. So it like makes me mad at it and it makes it not seem like a Metroid game.
And that's fair.
Well, okay, but I always get corrected where people are like, no, you absolutely can backtrack. That is 100% true. The people that comment on that are right, because at the end of the game, you can do a collectible run, which is cool. That's totally fine. But you can't do a collectible run to like beef up things in certain parts of the game because you get cut out of them. So you're served well if you're going to play, you know, like a really hard run or something. To follow a guide because there's missable stuff until the end of the game. Does that make more sense?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And lots it's of not really, missable permanently.
Lots of really fun. Lots of really fun creative bosses in this game too, that I feel like Metroid Dread like sort of took the torch with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's still the second worst 2D Metroid game. But
the original 2 the worst?
Yes.
For Game Boy?
Yeah, that's fair. I actually have never played.
Well, I mean, Metroid is like I like Metroid, but I can see why people wouldn't like it too much, but. I guess this is better than Metroid, so it's the third worst.
I think when I sort of just replace the first two with the remakes in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to play through the five like mainline Metroid games, I'm going to use the remakes instead.
Yeah,
and I would. That's hard. I don't know.
It's the third worst. It's also the third best then.
No,
the second.
Are there only six?
Aren't there five?
Well, I'm including the remake, so it's like there's a Zero Mission, I think, is the best.
Yeah.
And then after that, I would say Dread now, which is really cool.
So good.
And then Super Metroid, and then Return of Samus, the remake, and then this, and then two, and then one, and then or whatever. One, then two. Something like that.
Well, nicely, Jeff. You got there. I wish you would have guessed Metroid Fusion on your first guess.
That
I don't think we've
cool.
never had... We've never had...
We were this close.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well...
A one guess... Game of 20 questions.
Yeah, we read his eyes, though. Damon gave us the eye signal that said,
Did
you really want to get... Yeah.
Because if you guess the wrong game, you lose.
Oh, so oh no. That's okay, that's what you meant. Okay, no, I was never going to actually guess it. I was just having a funsies.
Because I figure if you... Because he said the question, you know? And if you would have said the question, you would have been like, that is right.
Yeah, I feel like if that
would have been
case.
A funny... I think that's what Damon would have done.
Yeah.
But the hesitation gave us all we need to know. Mm-hmm.
Before we sign off, real quick, just a random question that maybe Sam would be, have the answer for. Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Takes place a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
What's up with that galaxy today?
Yeah, it could have collided with another.
Is it still there, or is it long gone? Is there a thought about that amongst the Star Wars fandom?
Well, all objects in the universe are moving slowly apart from one another, and galaxies do deform. If we were looking at that galaxy, it might look like it did then, though, because we're seeing starlight from millions to billions of years ago. So, yeah, that galaxy gone, I bet. Mm.
The only time I've ever been sent to the principal's office, I was being kind of a shithead one day, and I was in AP English, and the teacher was going over like tenses and future and past and settings and all of this stuff, and he was talking about future settings, and he's like, for instance, Star Wars takes place in the future. And
who
of course, my teacher did, and so I interrupted him because he needs to be interrupted. Actually, it takes place a long time ago.
They sometimes ask this, and Damon always makes it clear that.
And so I did that, and he was just like, "You were on thin ice, buddy." And then I said one other joke, and I got sent to the principal's office.
What other joke?
He said something.
I don't think it was a joke.
He was talking about.
But did everybody like cackle? We were like, actually, it's a long time.
They did laugh at that.
No,
he said something about like literal versus figurative, and he's like, a car can't literally be cool, and I'm just like, snow plows, ice cream trucks. And then I got sent to the principal's office.
And then I was on the case.
That's great. I love it. All right, viewers, listeners, if you have your own questions or suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you to Sam. Thank you, Colin. Thank you to the ghost of Justin. Thank you to Tom and Tayo working behind the scenes to make this episode possible here in our LA studio. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out. I'm going to go back and play some more Resident Evil 4.